The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse number 10. Start our new series, God's Blessings Are Found Within God's Boundaries. Exodus 19, if you'll follow along as I begin reading in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. They washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze. Many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. Let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and he spake unto them. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd bless now the preaching of the word. Pray again that you'd use me this morning as your vessel and as your instrument to accomplish your purpose for us being here. Thank you again for the privilege to stand behind this pulpit and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, boundaries. What are boundaries? Simply put, they are things or something that indicates or fixes a limit or an extent. Or it's a separating line. In fact, some years ago when we put a fence up between our property and the neighbor's property, there was a bit of a dispute with regards to where were the boundary lines and where would the fence go. And we tried to reason with our neighbor and to tell him where the boundary lines went, but there was no reasoning. And so we dug up the pin that was, and it's still there, if you right where the driveway ends, about a foot and a half over, there's a pin. In fact, all along this street, there are pins in the ground. There's a pin there, there's a pin over there, and it shows us where our boundaries were. And we gained 2 feet when we dug up that pin. So that was a blessing. But boundaries, that's what boundaries do. They set limits. And the psalmist said, and I have this for you on your handout here, Psalm 147, 14, he said, "He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat." The word borders in the Bible is the same word that would be used for boundaries. Or, again, if you notice in the text, verse number 12, "And thou shalt set bounds." The same word, borders, boundaries, fixes, limits, a separating line. I thought about what the psalmist said when he said, "He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat." In other words, within the borders, there was peace within the border. There was tranquility within the border, within the boundaries. There was satisfaction when he said there that he filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. It's a satisfaction that the psalmist reminded his readers of within the borders. Of course, within the borders of Israel, there was, for many of the years, there was great satisfaction, and there was great tranquility, and there was great peace. And as you'll see, as the sermon goes on, it was only as they began to forget about the things of God and to cross over some spiritual boundaries that the peace that they enjoyed and the satisfaction that they enjoyed began to disappear. But boundaries or bounds found all throughout the Scriptures. It's amazing if you just do a word search on it. For instance, in Joshua, as well as in the book of Ezekiel, you'll see all the tribes, the 12 tribes that are listed. And it'll say, "and their border was," meaning their boundaries. So it'll give the borders for the tribe of Zebulun. It'll give the borders for the tribe of Dan. It'll give the borders for the tribe of Issachar. It'll give the borders for the tribe of Judah. And Zebulun already, but all the 12 tribes, where their borders were, and they were divided up within in the land. And it was important so that each tribe knew what land they possessed and what land the other tribes possessed. But look, if you would, now at verse number 17. The Bible says, "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God." And really, isn't that what life is all about for you and I? To meet with God? To meet with God, we're here this morning, we meet with one another, but we've really come this morning to meet with God. Amen? That's what we've come to do. But we ought to desire to meet with God every day. You know, whether we're at work, we can meet with God. In our homes, we can meet with God. We were talking in the adult Sunday school class a little bit today about opportunities to witness and to share our faith with others. But wherever we are, we want to meet with God. But they were going to meet with God, and God was going to lay out His terms with regards to meeting with Him. And if we want to meet with God, it's always got to be on God's terms. It's never on our terms. It's always going to be on God's terms. And if we want to enjoy the peace, the tranquility, and if we want to enjoy the satisfaction that the psalmist spoke about, it's always going to be within God's boundaries. It's always going to be within God's borders. And we need to be mindful of that. And so this message this morning is an introductory message, but in the weeks ahead, we're going to look at some boundaries in our lives, some important boundaries. Because sometimes, you know, we say this or we think this, we say, "Why am I not enjoying the peace or the tranquility that sometimes I read about or sometimes I hear spoken about? And why is it that I'm not enjoying the satisfaction that sometimes we preach about or teach about or read about or sing about?" Well, the series of messages is for us to think about, am I within God's boundaries or am I stepping over God's boundaries? Because the peace and tranquility is always going to come when we abide in His boundaries. So we need to remember that. It's so important. Isaiah said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." So let me give you these 3 points this morning. They're on your handout. We're going to look first at boundaries define consequences. Secondly, boundaries define courses, and then boundaries define causes. These 3 points. So number one is this. Consequences. I gave you that example with regards to putting up the fence. There were consequences when we found out where our actual boundary was. The consequences for us was positive. The consequences for our neighbor at the time was negative. But those were the boundaries, amen? And we were trying to be gracious and to do what we thought was right. And then when we finally had to define the boundaries, there were consequences. And we actually, in fact, I believe it was my brother Russ and I were doing that. We went down to town hall and we got all the paperwork and we brought them and showed him, here's the boundaries. And this was always negative and always positive consequences. Well, they're going to meet with God. And this is an amazing chapter and what is about to take place here. And one of the great, probably, can you imagine the sight when God is meeting with them? And we read some of this, the smoke on Mount Sinai and the trembling of the earth and the voice of the trumpet. It must have been quite a sight, quite an experience to be there that day. But this was going to be on God's terms. So let's look at these consequences here. So read again with me, if you would, verses 10 through 13. So the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. It's always good to wash your clothes, amen? Washing clothes is a very important thing. So he's telling them, listen, we're going to meet with God. So let's get ready and let's get prepared to meet with him. And let's kind of clean up and be prepared. And so they do that. In fact, twice they're told to wash their clothes. Always better come to church in washed clothes than unwashed clothes. Amen? Amen. All right. That's really not one of the main points of this message, but I thought I'd throw that in this morning. But then the Bible goes on and says this. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. He's saying, listen, you're going to meet with God. And then he says this in verse 12, though. He sets the bounds. And thou shalt set the bounds unto the people round about. And so somehow they set up a border. They set up a boundary. And the people were not to cross that line. They were to stay behind that line. There's a line that was drawn. And you'll find all throughout the Bible that God sets up boundaries and he tells us, don't cross that line. Because there are negative consequences if you cross that line. In fact, these consequences here were quite serious. He says, middle of verse 12, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. Well, that would get you thinking about crossing the border or crossing the boundary, wouldn't it? You're going to die. But listen, there are certain things in our lives, certain boundaries that God tells us not to cross because it could bring perhaps not physical death, but it could bring death to a relationship. Death to one thing or another. You can fill in the blank because God lays out those boundaries. You know, we often use this for soul winning. In Romans chapter 3:23 says, the wages of sin is what? Death. And so we know a lost person who dies in their sin, they die and they go to hell. But a practical application of that verse is when people are involved in sin, it brings death. Sometimes physically, sometimes though in what I just mentioned, relationships and situations of life. And so we need to be careful because God set these boundaries. And so this is serious. He says, don't cross the boundary. Don't do that. In fact, he goes on and says, therefore, verse 13, there shall not a hand touch it. Don't even touch the boundary. But he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be a beast or man. it shall not live. And when the trumpet soundeth long, thou shalt come up to the mount. So they were going to get to observe what was taking place on Mount Sinai, but they were going to do it from a certain boundary. And not to cross that boundary. Well, as I read that, and maybe as you read that, you think, wow, that's pretty hard with regards to what the Lord's calling for here. But there's a positive side to it as well. There's a positive side. You teenagers, look up at me right here now. There are boundaries that God's placing in your lives. And if you cross those boundaries, it will bring negative consequences. I'm not saying that you're going to die, although there are boundaries where you could physically die because you've crossed the line. It's not because God's going to just snap his finger and kill you, but there are certain boundaries that put you in harm's way. There are certain boundaries that are dangerous for you. There are certain boundaries that will alter the entire course of your life. And it's not because God is a harsh God or God is a mean God or God is a joy killer. But let me show you why in this same chapter. Go back to verses 3 through 5. And why he said this to the Israelites. The Bible says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." Let me just stop there for a minute. What he's saying to them is this. Listen, let me remind you that you were in bondage, you were in slavery for over 400 years. And I sent Moses to free you from that slavery so that you could be a free people. That you could have a liberty in your life. Don't forget that, he says. So by the way, if you've been a Christian for any length of time and God has, obviously he saved you, but he's rescued you from certain things in your life. And then as you begin to think back, you know, maybe I can handle this now, or maybe I could get involved in this. You know what we're doing? I'm talking about sinful things. We know where the boundaries are. We learn those boundaries, but sometimes we kind of want to step back over those boundaries. We want to experience, but always remember this, that God saved you from those boundaries. He brought you out of Egypt. He brought you out of the things of this world. Don't ever forget that. Because we do. It's the history of the people of Israel. They forgot. Be careful of that. But he says, I brought you forth as on eagle's wings. Now, I don't know if this is supposed to be a picture, if this is true, but I read this in a commentary, and I didn't have time to completely research this, but the commentator said this, when eagles carry their young, they literally carry them in their wings. When other birds carry their young, they carry them in their, what are they called, talons? Talons. And so the idea that God is trying to show the Israelites is, listen, not only did I rescue you from Egypt, but using the pictures as an eagle, when an eagle carries its young, it carries them in its wings. So if an enemy were to shoot at the eagle, it would hit the carrying eagle, not the young. In other words, it's a picture of the eagle protecting the young. And I don't have time this morning in the message, but this idea is brought up again in the book of Deuteronomy. So God is trying to get across the point to them. Listen, I've given you defined boundaries because there are negative and there are positive consequences. But read on a little bit further here. He goes on and he says this in verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. A peculiar treasure. See, that's how God sees us, as a treasure. And it doesn't see us as a treasure because of who we are, and so much more in the sense that he sees us as a treasure because who he is to us. There's nothing about us that makes us a treasure. I mean, you may own some things that you treasure. I have some things that I own in my home that have been passed down now from generation to generation, and sooner or later at some point. And some of the things that we've had, we've passed on to our kids. And they're kind of like treasures to us. We have value in them. I have many things in my home that my mom gave me and that I had in my home growing up. And that's a treasure to me. It reminds me of things. And I place a value in those things. But God looks at you and I in a far greater way. That's why he sets the boundaries. He sets the boundaries because we're his treasure. He said to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy, I didn't choose you because you were the greatest people. And I'm paraphrasing. He said, I didn't choose you because you're the mightiest people. He says, I chose you because you're like the weakest people. But I treasure you, he says. And so he sets up these boundaries, these positive boundaries. In your handout, I wrote Jeremiah 31:17, where Jeremiah said, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. And if you remember from the book of Jeremiah, because the Israelites crossed over the border, meaning spiritually, crossed over the boundaries, they became idol worshipers. They didn't honor the Sabbath. That God literally removed them from the borders, the boundaries of Israel, and caused them to travel to Babylon. But one of the wonderful things about that verse is that Jeremiah is reminding them, listen, if you'll just submit to what the Lord has for you, that you'll once again go back within the boundaries and the borders that God originally had for you. And that's the wonderful truth about the consequences of God. So when we cross those borders, when we cross those boundaries, and then God chastises us, it's to get us back on the right side of the boundary. Amen? The right side. And so we need to remember that. And the Israelites would learn this in the days and years ahead. So here they are about to meet with God, and God is setting up these bounds, setting up these boundaries. But then we move on to boundaries define courses. A course, it's an ordered process. It's a procedure. It's a point on a compass. So if you hold a compass in your hand, see if you know this, which direction does a compass always point? Always points north. Always points north. That's how you know if you're going east, west, or south. So God has a course for our lives. He's got a direction for our lives. On every Thursday in the winter for 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the season, we take a homeschooling group skiing at Mount Snow. And we've been doing this for years. Back when we had the Christian school, we'd bring our school kids. And now we have a homeschool group that goes. So I go every Thursday and spend the day skiing. And it's been a great program for all the kids. But there has been for years a group of retired folks from Connecticut that are there every Thursday. And they knew my former neighbor, and we kind of made a connection, and we see them every year, and we say hi, and express pleasantries one to another. Anyhow, one of the gentlemen came over to me, and he said hi, and I said hi, and he said, I've given up skiing this year. And I said, you have? He says, I gave it up. He said, last year, I'm 87. Well, I thought, maybe he should be giving up skiing. I'm not sure. Well, 86, he said, last year I skied a little bit, and I got a little bit worried, so I gave it up. But then he said, well, how are things going? You know, he started to express, spiritually speaking or with regards to the church. And he said, down in Connecticut, he says, the churches, they're really hurting. And lack of attendance and things like that, he said. So I just happened to make this mention to him. I said, it's too bad because we see the effects of this in our country. We've lost our moral compass. Right, he said. That's exactly right. The man who's 87 years old can think back far enough and about all the changes that have taken place in this country and really in the world and realize that our moral compass is not the same moral compass that it once was. Because we've crossed boundaries. Even in churches, we've crossed boundaries. And, that's really the hope, not only of our nation, it's the hope of every individual. But boundaries, they define courses. And God said to the children of Israel, I want to meet with you, but you're going to meet within my boundaries, and there's a wrong way and there's a right way. So look at verse 21 of our text. The Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through. In other words, they're going to cross the boundaries. You say to them, listen, Go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And apparently, even after God had set the boundaries, that there were some that wanted to cross the boundaries and head up Mount Sinai. He says, no, 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 that's the wrong way. That's not what I have for them. And we need to be careful of that. There's a wrong way and there's a right way. The Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible is filled with examples of God's people stepping out of his boundaries. Right from Genesis, chapter 2, chapter 3. God said to Adam and Eve, you may eat of all the trees of the fruit of the Garden of Eden. There's one tree. Don't cross that boundary. Don't cross the boundary. And what happened? They crossed the boundary. They crossed the boundary. They ate of the tree of the good and evil. And there's many examples. They're expelled from the Garden of Eden and they've lost the blessings of the Garden of Eden. Abraham and Sarah, they went down to Egypt. They literally crossed the boundaries and left Egypt in a famine. They weren't instructed by God to do that. And when they got down into Egypt, they ran into all kinds of problems. Abraham begins to, he lies, and he tells Pharaoh that that Sarah is his sister, not his wife. And just one thing after another. In fact, Pharaoh, when he found out, was kind of, I've always been amused by that account in the Bible. Like Pharaoh says, what in the world? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? But all throughout, people who cross the boundaries, godly people. So if they cross the boundaries, you and I need to be careful. Moses crossed the boundary when he struck the rock twice. And he never was allowed to cross the boundaries into the promised land. Never was. When they did cross the boundaries into the promised land, when Jericho was taken, God gave explicit instructions, do not take of the spoils of Jericho. And one man did, Achan. And in the next battle, because Achan, and the scriptures put it this way, there was sin in the camp when it was all found out, because Achan crossed over the boundaries that God had laid out, and he was hiding the treasures in his tent. The next battle that the Israelites went into, the battle of Ai, they lost that battle. And Joshua didn't know what's going on, and he cries before the Lord, and the Lord explains to him. And he doesn't put it in these exact terms, but basically he's saying, listen, Joshua, somebody in the camp crossed the boundaries. And it was Achan. And then it gets to the point, you go to the book of Judges, where the Bible says there that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know what that is? That's man setting up his own boundaries. But God's given us boundaries for courses, so we know the right course to take, the correct course. There's a wrong way, there's a right way. On your handout, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture. When we had to find out these boundaries, we went to town hall, it was written out for us. When you want to know the boundaries of God, you turn to the Scriptures. Amen? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. Those are the right boundaries. And he says, and then for reproof. Those are the wrong boundaries. For corrections. That's when you're over the other side of the boundary to get on the right side of the boundary. And he goes on and he says, for instruction in righteousness. That's how to stay in the boundaries. That the man of God may be perfect, mature, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He lays out the boundaries and the borders. And in verse 24 of our text, look what the Bible says. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down. Thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. You can cross the boundary, and Aaron can cross the boundary, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And so Moses went down unto the people, and he spake unto them. He sets the pattern. He sets the right way. And he says, make sure that they don't break through. I've set these boundaries for a reason. They're going to experience the trembling. They're going to experience the smoke and the fire. And God is going to give them a glimpse, even from afar, of himself. And you know, that's how it works when we're meeting with God. God will give us glimpses of himself to encourage us. God, you know, just the blessings of God. I was thinking about this before the sermon began this morning, and some of God's blessings. I'm wearing a suit this morning. I remember some years ago, I wanted a gray suit. You might say, well, that's not really gray, preacher. That's brown. And yeah, you're right. You got good eyes. But I wanted a gray suit. And so I began to pray for a gray suit. And so lo and behold, not only did I get a gray suit, but I got this suit, and I got a blue suit. And I think that's it. I think I got three suits out of the deal. And they're really good suits. There was a man who had passed away many, many years ago. And his wife attended our church for years. And she needed to, she's in a nursing home now, but the family wanted everything in the home to be disposed of or sold. And he was an executive for General Electric. And see, when we stay on the right side of the boundaries, I'm just a little taken aback this morning because I've seen God do it in my life over again and over again and over again. Boundaries are for the blessings of God are always when you stay within God's boundaries. God does that for us. He blesses. The boundaries, then lastly, they define a cause. What is our cause? Well, they're going to meet with God. And he says, look at verse 6 of our text. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. That's who we are. We are priests. The Israelites, they were going to be a holy nation. We as the church, we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. I suppose Peter was reminded of this particular verse. You look on your handout when the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write 1 Peter 2:5-9. Ye also, he said, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Ye are a chosen generation. Listen, why does God want us to stay on the right side of the boundaries? Because you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. You are His treasure. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We as the church, and they as the nation of Israel, they were called to be a light to the world. And they're going to do that only if they meet with God and meet with God God's way. And then as we finish up this morning, you move to chapter 20. And God begins to lay out all the boundaries, all the landmarks, and all of the pins. I'm not going to read all of chapter 20, but if you know your Bible, chapter 20 is where the Ten Commandments are given to the people. The first four commandments are, Ethan mentioned this in his Bible study this morning, he was talking about vertical relationships and horizontal relationships. The first four of God's Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with God. They're vertical. Here's one of the boundaries. Look real quickly. We won't spend a lot of time on this, I promise. But he says in verse 20, chapter 20, he says in verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Here's your first boundary, he says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's your first boundary, he says. He says in verse 4, you're not going to make any graven images. There's boundary number 2. You're not going to bow down to them. You're not going to serve them. And then look what he says, though, in verse 5. Why? Because I am a jealous God. I'm jealous over you because you're my treasure. You're my peculiar people. I love you, he says. Verse 7, he says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Some of the people I work with at my part-time job, I've really been working hard on them not to take the Lord's name in vain. And one of the fellows that I work with a lot, he's really doing a good job. He starts, oh, and he stops. I said, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. Oh, yeah, I always do it in such a, I try to do it with him in a friendly way. You know, I'm not there to, I say, wait, stop. That's a boundary. That's a boundary. I was really, I'll just move on. Look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Listen, God has set a day aside for you and I to worship him. That's one of the boundaries. When we don't hold to that boundary, we're robbing ourselves of the blessings of God. It's a boundary that he set up. I meet with people sometimes that have fallen away and things are just falling apart in their lives. And they can't figure out why. You've crossed the boundaries. They set up new boundaries. Ungodly boundaries. But those deal with God. No other God before me. No graven images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Four vertical boundaries that we need to make sure that we're keeping. And then he goes on in a horizontal, meaning our relationship with other people. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. It's a boundary. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, commit adultery. Verse 15, steal. Bear false witness. Verse 17, covet. These are boundaries that God sets up in our lives. He said, make sure you stay within these boundaries. Because he loves us. But what do? Like I said, we tend to want to step outside of the boundary and then step back up into the boundary. Step outside and then step back in. That's not good. Did you know what happens when we start to do that? We start to step a little bit further from the boundary. And a little bit further from the boundary. And we can still see the boundary, so if we want to get back, we can get back there. Until one day you're so far away from the boundary that you forget where the boundary is. Got to be careful of that. Look what he says in verse 20 of chapter 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. One of the reasons God sets up boundaries in our lives is just to put us to the test. Just how important are my boundaries? And that his fear may be before your faces, meaning our respect for God. That you sin not. Because ladies and gentlemen, when we sin, it's always the negative, always to our detriment. And the people stood afar off, verse 20, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And he says in verse 24, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. This is going to be a very simple altar. Because by the way, in all of the pagan religions at the time, their altars were very high and lifted up and very ornate. It's another boundary God is really laying out for them here. Thou shalt sacrifice there on thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. And he says, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. But God's blessings are always found within God's boundaries. Lays out, and then if you were to read on, he lays out actually 600 other commandments. A lot more boundaries, amen? He lays them all out. And so you and I, as believers, God promises, listen, stay within the boundaries. I'll come unto thee. I'll bless thee. And when we don't, we rob. No one robs you of the blessings of God except for you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. The Ten Commandments, we just looked at them briefly. These commandments were given to us to teach us and to prove to us that we can't keep the commandments. Teach us that we need a Savior. Teach us that we're sinners. The reality is we all cross the boundaries. We cross the boundary of sin. And the only person that can put you on the right side of that boundary is Jesus Christ. Because He's the one that paid the price. When He went to the cross and He died for your sin. And so if you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus loves you. He died for you. All your sin was placed upon Him. He paid the price. He rose from the dead that we might live forever. And if you're here and you're unsure with regards to your relationship to Jesus Christ, you're unsure whether you're born again. For the Bible says, except a man be born again, he'll not enter into the kingdom of God. As we bring this service to a conclusion, we'll have an invitation. And during that invitation, if you'll come forward and meet me in front of this altar, if you're a man, one of our men will take a Bible. They'll pray with you or they'll answer any questions you might have. If you're a lady, one of our ladies will do the same. Because the most important thing, the most important decision that you can ever make is to receive Christ as your Savior. Because as I mentioned in the message, when Adam and Eve crossed that boundary, the nature of sin entered into all of our lives. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. And the only thing that can change that is your relationship with Christ. But for many of us, perhaps most of us this morning, we've already asked Christ to be our Savior. But how about the boundaries He's laid out for us? Are we robbing ourselves of the blessings of God? Are we stepping over the boundaries to our own peril? And that's what this series of messages will be about. Different boundaries that God has set up. Because He desires to bless us. He desires that because we are a peculiar treasure. Because we are the object of His love. And He wants the very best for us. Father, bless the invitation. Speak to each heart as You see fit. If there be one here today that's without Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You've brought conviction to their heart, that You've brought the reality of Jesus, their need of Jesus to their heart, and today would be the day that they would receive Christ as their Savior. Maybe there's some here that have already done that, but You spoke to their heart about a certain boundary in their life that they've crossed over. Or maybe they're back and forth. I pray that maybe they'd spend a few minutes just asking You, Lord, to help them stay on the right side of that boundary, to define the boundaries in their life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.